Please turn with me in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, for our New Testament scripture reading this morning. Luke chapter 10, we shall read verses 38 to 42. Let us read God's word together. Luke chapter 10, beginning at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to our hearts this morning. Most of us this past week got to enjoy at least a few days of welcome respite from our busy schedules. We value the holidays, of course, for the opportunity they give to us. For spending time doing things we often don't have the luxury to do. Spend quality time with family, friends, playing games together, exchanging gifts, enjoying a feast of good food. We've come to the end of another busy and hopefully productive year. And when we do so, it's only natural for us to look back over the year that has passed and ask, what have I accomplished? What have I accomplished in 2015? Have I served my family? Have I served my employer, my neighbors, my city, my nation? But a far more important question for us to ask is, how have I served the Lord in 2015? How have I grown in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? We live, do we not, in an exceptionally busy age. The march of technological progress has made completing our tasks faster and far more efficient, which leads, of course, to greater productivity, but also to a greater list of what we try to cram into the same 24 hours that God has bestowed on each of us. But the question we must ask is, how much of that window of time have we devoted to communion with the God who gave us those 24 hours? Perhaps as we review the year that has passed, many of us must confess that we have perhaps not lived the most balanced lives in 2015. Certainly not been lazy, I hope, but neither have we maintained the right priority, the right balance between things temporal and things eternal. So perhaps we sputter on spiritual fumes over the finish line into 2016, only to do it all over again. That's where this beautiful little story of Jesus' dealings with two sisters, Mary and Martha, can help us take spiritual stock of our priorities as we look to the new year. We may have achieved many things in the year that has passed, and for that we can give thanks to the Lord. But as we move forward, Jesus reminds us that in contrast to the many things, only one thing is needed. So I'd like us to look at this passage under two headings this morning. First, we will consider Martha's heart for the ministry of service. And secondly, we will consider Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. Martha's heart for the ministry of service, Mary's heart for the ministry of the Word. We begin then in verse 38 with Martha's heart for the ministry of service. Take a look with me again at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Three things I'd like us to observe this morning about Martha and her heart for the ministry of service. First is this: the ministry of service is a good thing. The ministry of service is a good thing. We read here that Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. And consequently, in verse 40, Jesus acknowledges that she is busily engaged in much serving. Much serving. That Greek word translated serving is that important New Testament word diakonia, where we get the word deacon. It's most commonly used in the context of the church, where it is defined as a ministry of mercy, particularly to relieve temporal and physical needs. So here, Martha's ministry of diaconal service was hospitality. And she had a most honored guest in her home, the Lord Jesus, who you remember once said, "The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In the context of Luke chapter 10, Jesus has been traveling extensively. He has been teaching extensively. And he is no doubt thankful for the respite and the refreshment that is offered by Martha in her home. And friends, Martha's heart for the ministry of service is not only good, but it is worthy of your imitation. Hospitality is not a biblical suggestion. It is a biblical command. Martha welcomed Jesus into her house. There is no more important decision your family can make for 2016, spiritually speaking, than to welcome Jesus into your home. And then if you, like Martha, have decided that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, you will not only be welcoming Jesus in, but you will also be welcoming his needy people in too. Jesus says in Matthew 25, 35 and 40, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. And assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." So the ministry of service is a good thing. The church needs its Marthas. Our own congregation here is blessed with many of them. Many of us men here are blessed to be married to Marthas. And like our Lord, while he was upon earth, the members of his body have temporal as well as spiritual needs. And like Martha, we should keep our eyes open as to how we may best meet those temporal needs. 1 Peter 4, 9 and 10. "Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So the ministry of service is a good thing. But notice secondly from our story that the ministry of service is often a distracting thing. Often a distracting thing. Look at verses 39 and 40. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Martha's ministry of service was good, but it wasn't happening in a vacuum. There was something of eternal significance that was happening in her home that day. You see, Jesus' visit to her family not only gave her an opportunity to serve him, it also gave him an opportunity to serve her family as well. Jesus wasn't simply waiting on a sofa for a sumptuous dinner she was preparing. He too was busy. He was teaching his word. Now we're going to come and consider that aspect of the story in more detail in our second point. But as we continue to consider Martha's heart, we read here that Martha was distracted with much serving. Distracted by what? By her much serving. This good, noble, and example-setting ministry of service was distracting her. But distracting from what? Distracting her from hearing his word. This word distracted appears only here in the New Testament, and it means to be overoccupied, to be too busy about a thing. And notice that it's not the thing itself that's problematic. It's the priority that it has assumed in her life. It's something that she has a heart for. It's something evidently that she's very good at. It's something that she enjoys doing, but it's also something that has begun to distract her from an even greater priority. Kevin DeYoung writes, Martha isn't doing anything bad. She's just being pulled away from what is better. She's so busy with dinner that she's giving Jesus her spiritual leftovers. And we learn from her, do we not, that the good is often the enemy of the best. To put it another way, Martha's service to others' welfare has led her to neglect her own spiritual welfare. Her service has distracted her from hearing the word. My friends, when that happens in your life, your ability to bless others by your ministry of service is itself hampered, and you defeat your own purposes in doing them good. Instead of a fruit-bearing ministry towards others, our service can slowly and gradually become thorn-bearing towards ourselves. Jesus says in Matthew 13:22, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, but the cares of this world choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Martha's busyness is a good thing, but it has choked the word, and so it ceases to bear its fruit in her life as it ought. Now, my friends, we need to learn from this that Satan loves to turn our strengths into our greatest weaknesses. In this case, Martha's gift of homemaking and hospitality becomes negligence of the means of grace. Satan rarely uses overtly wicked things to distract you from the ministry of the word, at least not at first. But instead, instead, he will use the good things, even ministry things, to undermine your communion with Christ. My friends, if he succeeds in doing so, he will have successfully turned your ministry itself into an idol. And once the good things you busy yourself with become idols, you'll quickly become irritated when something else comes along and distracts you from them. That's precisely, actually, what we see happening to Martha. Look at verse 40 again. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She approached Jesus and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." See, when time with the Lord becomes an unwelcome intruder on your precious time that you're busily spending on other things, even good things, then it's high time for you to reevaluate your life's priorities. Isn't that what we see in Martha's actions? When she finally does approach Jesus in verse 40, it's not to worship him. It's not to listen to his word. It's to complain to him about how unproductive she's being in serving her domestic idol. "Do you not care that my sister has left me all alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And she complains to the Lord that Mary doesn't share her priorities. She essentially blames Mary for being selfish. Who's really being selfish? Martha's become so absorbed in a good, honorable thing, she's lost her sense of priority and proportion. I wonder, can you identify with this morning? Have you experienced this kind of thing, even in the year that has passed? Have you become irritated that time spent with the Lord is intruding on the precious time you've allotted to other things, which you've chosen to give a greater priority to? Have good things become sinful distractions from the Word of God, trumping communion with Christ in your life? You can become distracted by your vocation. God does call some of us to serve him in particularly demanding and time-consuming callings. Sometimes he tests us with unreasonable bosses making draconian demands of our time, or sometimes he tests us with a string of family emergencies that stretch us thin, or multiple deadlines that we cannot control. We can easily be distracted by them. We can easily become distracted by our family responsibilities. Martha, that was probably a widow. She was certainly, it seems, the head of her own home. And whether you bear that responsibility as the head of a home or not, many of us are just in a very busy stage of family life. Some of you here have small children who never seem to stop making demands of your time and energy. And then at the other end of the spectrum, some among us are caring for elderly parents who often do exactly the same. So to summarize, the ministry of service is often a distracting thing. But it needn't always be. It needn't always be. There are times and seasons when our schedules impinge on our time with Christ, but never indefinitely. It's not so much that serving others is, by definition, distracting. Rather, it's the amount of serving we undertake that can be distracting. Martha was distracted with much serving. And the question, as Jesus will explain later, again is one of priorities and how we will choose to invest our time. Christians want to redeem the time, and they ask God to teach them to number their days that they may gain a heart of wisdom. But he gives us all the same 24 hours. And we all must choose how we will invest them. So ministry of service is a good thing. And ministry of service is often a distracting thing. And thirdly, the ministry of service is often a worrisome thing. a worrisome thing. Look at verse 41. Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things." Again, it needn't be a worrisome thing. But alas, often it becomes a worrying thing. For as we gradually lose sight of Christ, our busyness over our domestic concerns or provision or comfort or convenience can so overwhelm our perspective that we become worried and troubled. And what we have in the story really is a real life example of what Jesus teaches us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6:31 and following. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your Father in heaven knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So Jesus challenges our priorities. The matters of eternity must take precedence over your pressing temporal concerns, which he has promised to provide for you anyway, so you needn't worry about them. But Martha, she was worrying about them. And she was worrying because in her busyness, she had lost sight of the one thing that is needed. And perhaps some of you here this morning are too. You're going into 2016 worried and troubled about many things. Maybe this year promises to be the busiest one yet. And you have an endless list of responsibilities and it looms before you in your mind. Jesus reminds you that many things can be worrisome precisely because they are so many. We sang earlier from Psalm 127, "It is vain for you to rise up early and to sit up late to eat the bread of anxious toil. For so he gives his beloved sleep." So what have we learned so far? We've learned that Martha's heart for the ministry of service was good, but she had allowed it to become distracting to the word and a source of worry and trouble of mind. And surely, even though Martha lived many centuries ago in a very different culture from our own, her little domestic world is a lot like the world we occupy as well. It's a stressful one. It's one with many legitimate demands on our time. And surely there's a warning here from Martha for us all as we go into a new year. Martha reminds you and I to beware of a creeping spiritual neglect. If you're worried and troubled about many things, odds are you aren't seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Too many irons in the fire often means fewer irons in the fire of God's word. So that's Martha's heart for the ministry of service. But we turn then in a second place to consider Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. And by ministry of the word here, we mean Mary's primary concern for her soul, for her spiritual life, for her personal relationship and communion with the Lord through the means of grace. Look at verse 39. "And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." Once again, there are three things I'd like us to note about this sister. First of all, a heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. A heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. Mary sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. This phrase is an allusion to discipleship. You may remember the Apostle Paul in Acts 22:3 says he was, quote, brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel. In other words, he's saying, I was Gamaliel's disciple. And so in the same way, Mary was Jesus' disciple, for Jesus' true disciples will always be found sitting at his feet and listening to his word. It's a posture of humility, recognizing that our lives and all their concerns are subordinate to the will of our Savior in the Scriptures. It's a posture of personal communion with Jesus, sitting close to him, listening to his voice as he applies his word to us as individuals. It's also a sure mark of being a member of Jesus' family. Luke 8:21, my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And my friends, if this is true of you, you will treasure this more than all the world can offer. We just sang from Psalm 119, therefore I love your commandments more than gold. More than gold. Yes, than much fine gold. My friends, a true disciple of Jesus Christ allows nothing to abate his or her hunger and thirst for the life-giving word of Christ. Psalm 81:10, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. A heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. A good thing. Indeed, Jesus explicitly tells us here it is a good part in verse 42. The word that's translated part here refers actually to to a portion of food or one of many courses in a meal. There's something some of us can identify with after the week that has passed. Have you enjoyed a sumptuous feast recently? Have you had a good part, a delicious portion? That's what the term means. So you see, the story is really a comparing and a contrasting of two different kinds of feeding. Is your priority food for your body, or is it food for your soul? While Martha has been preoccupied with preparing food portions, there is a more important portion that Mary is presently tucking into, which is far more important. And while Martha prepares a physical feast in the kitchen, Jesus is spreading a very different kind of feast in the living room. And Mary has learned that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus says explicitly that a heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. It is that good part, but it is more than just a good thing. It is a better thing. Verse 42, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. Both are good things. Both are good things. But one is better. One thing is needed. One is more important than the other. Jesus says in John 6:27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you. I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. My friends, the challenge for us all this morning is this. Have you learned Mary's lesson? Do you attend the ministry of the word as it is preached in God's house week by week? Do you read God's word as families? Do you privately seek communion with Jesus in his word as you open your Bible each day? A heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing. But secondly, a heart for the ministry of the word is often a misinterpreted thing. It is often a misinterpreted thing. We've seen how Martha interrupted Jesus' lesson in verse 40. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? In other words, she comes to Jesus and says, Lord, my sister's priorities are all wrong here. Martha's misinterpretation is that, at least in this case, the ministry of the word is subordinate to the ministry of service. But on the contrary, it is the ministry of the word that must fuel your ministry of service. Martha's frustrated by Mary's choice. She appeals to Jesus. Do you not care? Do you not care how busy I am? And the answer is, yes, of course Jesus cares. We read in John 11:30, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Jesus does not for a second condemn this woman for all the trouble that she's gone to on his behalf. He knows it's an expression of genuine love for her Savior. But nevertheless, Jesus must issue a gentle rebuke. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. Martha's misunderstanding stems from what we saw in our first point. Her priorities are wrong. Martha is worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part. You see, the implication is that Martha, too, has chosen something. Mary has chosen her part, and Martha, you've chosen your part. It's a choice. Martha's chosen the many comparatively inconsequential things over the one thing that matters. She's chosen to busy herself with many temporal things to the neglect of her soul. You have only one soul to save from this perishing world, Christian friends. And to jeopardize it by pursuing too many temporal things is a fool's errand. Luke 9:25, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? So Martha, too, has a choice to make. A choice to make. Mary has chosen that better part, that good part. What would you choose, Martha? Martha has misunderstood the comparative importance of the ministry of the word. And like her little sister, she needs to go afresh to Jesus. She needs to sit at his feet again. She needs to commune with him in order to fetch daily grace for her many chores. And when she seeks first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these many things will be added unto her. So how have your priorities been in 2015? Have you been choosing the one thing that is needed? What have you lived for? Have your priorities been spiritual or temporal? Again, understand, Jesus is not throwing the Proverbs 31 woman under the bus, along with her busy, willing hands grasping the spindle. An industrious woman in the home is highly prized in Scripture. Jesus knows the burdens of the busy homemaker. He knows the hectic schedule of the businessman. He knows the relentless ministry of the caregiver. But it's not until you get Christ into perspective, as Mary did, that all these other worthy responsibilities come into their proper perspective. And instead of being worried and troubled about many things, you will leave them at the Savior's feet, because that is where you habitually sit. And you will not be disappointed. if you do that. Because if a heart for the ministry of the word is a good thing, and if it is often a misinterpreted thing, finally, a heart for the ministry of the word is always, always a rewarding thing. It is always a rewarding thing. Jesus here promises to reward those who, like Mary, choose that good part. He assures you in verse 42, it will not be taken away from you. He has never sent anyone away hungry who genuinely sought him for their spiritual nourishment. And he makes this promise to all of you this morning who will choose that better part in 2016 and humbly seek him in the word. It will not be taken away from you. Here is an endless feast for the new year. Doubtless the new year will be busy. There will be many things that will demand our attention in our earthly callings, and we must do them all, of course, with a heart to the glory of God. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But in the midst of all the busyness, you will be faced daily with the same choice of priorities. And so I charge you this morning, resolve at the outset of 2016, like Mary, that you will choose the one thing that is needful. And sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his word. When will you do so? Will you hear his word on the Sabbath day in 2016? Jesus is going to give you all 52 opportunities to do that. Choose the good part of the ministry of the word. He will be present here by his Spirit to feed you his word on 104 occasions in 2016, on the morning and the evening of his holy day. Will you be here like Mary? Or will you be preoccupied with temporal things like Martha? Why do you think he gave you one day a week free from Martha-like busyness, from the concerns of this world, so you could sit at Jesus' feet and listen without the guilt of uncompleted projects or other distractions? You have 6 other days to be Martha. On this day, be Mary. Be Mary. Or will you rob yourself of the Lord by sitting instead at the feet of your television? Will you hear his word on the Sabbath day? Now I know, of course, some of us will have works of necessity to perform on the Lord's day, but many of us here will not. We must resist the encroachments of our employers on the Christian Sabbath. The world's Marthas, especially in the corporate world, are increasingly taking up Martha's protest against Jesus' disciples, saying, do you not care that my employees have left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell them to help me. My friends, you are more Jesus' disciples than you are the world's employees. Your loyalty to the Christ must take precedence over the company. Hear his word on the Sabbath day in 2016. Hear his word in family worship in 2016. Bring your whole family together to Jesus' feet so they all might hear him teach. When Jesus visits your home to teach his word, as he did Mary's, make it a priority that all are there to hear him. Don't let your family be scattered in different rooms as Martha and Mary were, with very different priorities. Keep it simple. Read the Bible and pray. And do so with expectation of a rich reward. Hear his word in family worship in 2016. And lastly, hear his word in personal devotions in 2016. Go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Open his word. Trust that it will not return to him empty or fail to accomplish the reasons for which he sends it to you each day. A heart for the ministry of the word. That's something that will characterize you in this year. It's always a rewarding thing. The Lord says this to those of you who will heed this counsel today. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We thought this morning about Martha's heart for the ministry of service and Mary's heart for the ministry of the word. As we all stand on the threshold of a new year, what is your priority going to be? God's path to blessing for you and your family is very simple. One thing is needed. Will you choose that good part? Will you resolve this morning to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word? If you do, you have his promise. That good part will never, ever be taken away from you. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we confess to you as we review the year that has passed that all too often we have not sat at your feet and listen to your word, but have rather preoccupied ourselves with lesser things. Forgive us when we have become irritated at the reminders to sit at your feet, when others perhaps have showed us a better way. And Lord our God, we ask that we would heed the voice of our conscience, and that we would heed the voice of the Spirit speaking in his word this morning. May we follow the example of Mary. And may we discern, O Lord, to make the right decision, the right choice, to choose that better part. Forgive us, O Lord, when we have had hearts like Martha that have not simply been devoted to a good thing, serving others, but when those good things have become our idols and have robbed us, O Lord, of our spiritual growth and have robbed you of the praise that is due your name. Would you help us each one, O Lord God, as we go into this year, to serve you faithfully, to sit at your feet, to hear your word. And we ask, O Lord, that you would remember your promise, that that good part will not be taken away from us. O Lord, in a certain sense, the Christian life is simple. There's one thing needed. Help us, O Lord, to have that one priority in our life and to find when we do so that all the many other responsibilities you have given us to do would come into focus, would come into sharp relief, and that we would be able to serve you faithfully in them. Lord our God, hear our prayers. Help us to not simply be hearers of this word today, but doers of it in the year ahead. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
This sermon was preached at Southside Reformed Presbyterian Church. If you'd like more information about the church or to listen to more sermons preached here, visit our website at www.southsiderp.org. Thank you for listening.